The following Forum for Healthcare Strategists podcast was produced by DrPodcasting.com.
This is a special podcast produced on site at the 24th Annual Healthcare Marketing and Physician Strategy Summit, where we talked with speakers direct from the summit floor. I'm very happy to have with me Kathleen Luton, Principal Luton, Seekins & Trester and Counsel to Padilla, and Dan Loderman, Director of External Communications at Dignity Health. Both of you, welcome to the podcast. And Kathy, let me ask you first, your session, Surviving a Toxic Merger Environment and the Impact of Mergers on Hospital Culture. Give us a brief overview of your session.
The title is pretty clear, but when you dig into it, we know that for the past 5 years, and it's continuing now, more and more hospitals are merging into systems, and more systems are merging with other systems. And that activity hasn't changed at all. What has changed is the environment in which this is all happening. Consumers and advocacy groups and critics of healthcare and legislators and insurers, there are a lot of groups out there now who are taking a much longer look at healthcare mergers and saying, wait a minute. 10 years ago, a merger would happen, and the only negative that might be is that another hospital would say, well, no, I don't want you to merge with them. You're going to hurt us. It was within market. And now there is a huge amount of skepticism about what do mergers really do? Is there a benefit? Are costs declining? Is anything good happening? And people are taking it personally. It's my community hospital, and suddenly it's part of something bigger, and I don't know if I like it.
Right. It's a very unsettling time when you feel or know that a merger is coming. So how would someone know or feel if something is underfoot in coming, Dan?
Well, I think what we're finding is that every hospital, every system, really every healthcare organization could have a merger or some other kind of significant partnership on their horizon. Dignity Health recently came together with Catholic Health Initiatives to form a new organization called Common Spirit Health. Well, Dignity Health and Catholic Health Initiatives were already very, large, vibrant, successful systems in their own right. Maybe not the traditional, example of who would be looking to merge, but in this day and age, having the strongest financial and operational foundation that you can, having the scale and the resources and the range and breadth of expertise and capabilities to provide the continuum of services that is needed and expected in this day and age, it does require looking for all sorts of different partners. And in our case, taking two already significant systems and bringing them together to see if they can do even more. I think we're seeing all sorts of different kinds of mergers and partnerships. Individual hospitals coming together, large systems coming together, academic medical centers teaming up with private providers, physicians groups teaming up with each other and with large and small health systems. So I think the answer to that is everybody could have a merger on their horizon. It's not so much a matter of if as when, and how are you going to do it successfully and talk about it successfully in a way that builds trust and confidence in the new organization.
So let's talk about that trust and confidence in the new organization. Somebody new is coming in. Like I said, it can be very unsettling. What should they be prepared for when that new company comes in? Everything is going to be, I use the word scrutinized, but looked over and evaluated, and somebody might be concerned about that. Somebody new's coming in, and am I going to lose my job? Or are they going to not like what I'm doing? So how should somebody prepare for this, Kathy?
It's difficult if you're on the if you're at the end of the merger trail, because it's being planned by and decided by somebody else, and you're hearing about it, and if they're handling the people who are doing the merging or considering merging or partnering are doing it in the right way and are being incredibly open and transparent about it, that will ease people's fears quite a bit, because sometimes mergers don't work. We've had several situations in the Carolinas where there have been great big mergers in the works, and then 6 months later, that's dead. So people don't know, is this real or is it not real? If you are an employee or a patient or a physician with a system, ask a lot of questions. That's one thing we don't always see. And I think sometimes it's because employees particularly are kind of scared. Maybe I should just shut up and wait to see what's going to happen. But if you have a supervisor or a department director and you ask them, then they're going to ask the people above them, and they're going to ask, and you're going to get more information coming out. But basically, don't think that a merger is the end of your world. Many things don't change. Many things stay the same. Major overarching systems, there will be changes. But you don't see any more. It's not like if two car companies, auto companies merged, and they go in and, you know, like Ford the other day went, oops, 700 people gone. That doesn't happen in healthcare. So you have to be calm, get as much information as you can. Listen to what you're being told, because sometimes we see employees who just, they pay no attention, and then it happens, and they go, wait a minute. What did they tell us this? Well, yeah, they did. So you have to listen and then assume it's going to work.
You know, I think if I can just jump in also, Kathy,
yeah.
From the system perspective, the expectation of engagement has really grown in recent years. It's not enough now for, you know, hospital or system leadership to talk at a very high level, put out an update every couple months, and then boom, the merger's done and here's what it means for you. I think for us, we really tried to engage in a very proactive and meaningful way with internal and external audiences. So that means really being open and as transparent as you can be. You can't share everything with employees, but how can you talk in kind of a meaningful and open way about what the new organization wants to accomplish, what the role of employees will be? How can you survey employees in a meaningful way and then take that feedback and incorporate it into how you come together? How can you create a culture in the new organization that is reflective and respectful of both legacy organizations? And then externally, how can you engage with the community and with external partners in a way that provides a lot more specificity and, frankly, thoughtfulness in talking about what the new organization hopes to accomplish, and in a way that speaks to kind of today's concerns, not the concerns of 10 or 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So a lot of good information there. And as you were saying, Kathy, ask a lot of questions. Don't think it's the end of your world and assume it's going to work. And you were talking about open and honest transparency, Dan. That's good. So let me ask each of you the same question. Dan, I'm going to start with you. What is your number one tip for someone listening to this on how to survive a merger or acquisition?
You know, in presidential politics, they say be able to answer why. Why are you running for president? I would say if you're going through a merger or partnership, be able to say why you are doing that. What is the problem that you hope to solve? How can you speak to the concerns of healthcare consumers and employees today? High costs, outcomes that have stagnated. You know, life expectancy in this country is declining. Patient experience. People are frustrated with the way that the healthcare system is working for them. So how will your merger or partnership address the most pressing concerns internally and externally in healthcare? And how can you talk about how you'll address them in a specific and meaningful way? I think that's the most important place to start. And then the strategy will be dictated from there.
Absolutely. Kathy, same question to you. So what's your number one tip for to someone on how to survive a merger or acquisition?
I think from the system perspective, the organization that's going to be merging or is considering it, is to do exactly what we said in our title. Understand there's a very toxic environment out there right now. When you go out and stand up on the podium and go, we're going to merge, isn't this great? You are not going to hear a lot of people going, yay, fantastic, wonderful. You're going to hear people going, what's that going to do to costs? What's that going to do to access? What's going to happen to the hospital in my community? What's going to happen to my job? You're going to have patient advocacy groups saying, what about this issue? What about that issue? What are you going to do with that? And so we were talking earlier, and I said, you have to beware, beware. And he said, I think you just said the same thing. And I said, you have to be aware that you need to beware of no longer are mergers. You know, you have the mayor stand up and say great, and everybody say hallelujah, this is wonderful. Now you got to have your facts in order. You've got to have your story. You've got to say this is why this is a good thing. You have to be honest. You may have to say, we're not saying this is going to be a bed of roses and everything's going to be perfect. There will be change, but it's going to be change for the better, and it's going to be good for our community and our patients and the people we serve. But understand that the audience out there now, you know, in 1 6-month period, Congress, two Senate panels had hearings, House panels had hearings, a group of governors got together, various state governors on their own, Blue Cross, a number of insurers, the New York Times. I mean, in 6 months, I had a list of, this is incredible, just all out attacks, not on individual mergers, but on the concept of mergers. And all of a sudden, hey, bigger is better was being viewed as not necessarily. So you have to go into it assuming there will be a lot of pushback and be prepared for it. Be honest. Accept it, and then you will, as Dignity Health and Catholic Health Initiatives did, they were honest, they were totally straightforward, they had a lot of you know, critics and people who were worrying about it, and they came out of it, you know, with all the approvals needed to move forward.
Right, so be open, be honest, accept it, and as you were saying, Dan, know your why. So understand that before the new company takes over. We're going to leave it there. Thank you both for your time, Dan and Kathleen. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you for
having
us.
Thank you.
If you were unable to attend this year's Healthcare Marketing and Physician Strategy Summit, you can access the recordings from the sessions at healthcarestrategy.com/summit/playback. And please join us at next year's conference, April 5th through the 7th, 2020, at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas, and access our full podcast library for other topics of interest to you. Thanks for listening.